Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll work our way into chapter 5. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been in Ephesians chapter 4, and we've seen that putting off the old man and putting on the new, it's an act. It's a gracious act. It's an operation. It's a work of our God worked in the sinner. This is by his grace and his power. And we've seen that our God has given us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to dwell in us. And the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Well, this week, in addition to what we've seen, we also see that we are sealed by the Spirit of God, and by his grace, we are made imitators of God. We are made followers of God and are imitators of him. And that's seen in our love toward our God and love toward our brethren, and in the service, the fruit that we bear in service to our God and our brethren. And what I really want us to see today, that this love and service that our Lord bears in us, it's learned. It's learned. It's learned in a walk of faith. Our Lord is teaching us what grace is. And he's teaching us how to love our brethren and how to serve one another. It's a learned process. It's learned by our God. So the understanding that we have of God, the knowledge that we have of God, is taken from just being doctrine, which is precious and true and necessary for our learning. But he takes that and puts it into practice. He reveals the truth of it in us by experience. And we'll see that today. You know, even Paul, if you turn back towards the back in Ephesians 3, Ephesians 3, Paul says there in verse 12, this is the apostle Paul saying, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." He's perfect in Christ. He's talking about learning of Christ, and walking in the truth, in the light of our God, toward our God and toward our brethren. He says, "Not as either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Paul learned by the Spirit of God humility. Paul learned humility, and he was brought low at times that he might learn humility and learn grace and be gracious to others, because he knew a lot. He knew a lot. He said, "I've not apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." And so understand, brethren, that this is a patient growth that our Lord works in us. It's a patient growth. It's a lifetime of learning his grace. And it's a refreshing and a renewing by his Spirit of learning his grace toward one another in the kingdom of God. And so I've titled this message, Imitators of the Father. Imitators of the Father. And we're going to begin with looking at this sealing that we've received by the Holy Ghost. And then we'll look at our being made imitators of God. And then we'll look at that as Paul gets into the application, where he talks about sin, we'll see that the foundation that our God has given us enables us to hear this word, to hear the word of the application. So in these chapters here, which Paul has written to the Ephesians, Paul is giving the child of God many gracious assurances. He's building up or giving us the pillars of our hope, the foundation upon of the truth upon which we stand, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would know our salvation in Christ is most secure. Most secure. Our salvation cannot be undone by any creature. Our Savior has accomplished the redemption and is working salvation in his people. He cannot fail. And we're given doctrinal truths that are unshakable. Truths that cannot be altered or changed by man. And we receiving these truths in Christ are an anchor. He's an anchor of the soul, so that when things get stormy and we see things that trouble us, we have the anchor of Christ that keeps us ever looking to him, and we hear the promise of his word that we are his people. And so these truths, they give us rest and peace, confidence and assurance that our God has done everything necessary. And when we go through trials and it gets dark and cloudy, obscuring the face of God, we know that he's still there, that he's smiling upon us and providing for his people, because we have the promises of God. For example, in the beginning of Ephesians, we are taught that believers are receiving of our Father. We are now receiving all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whether you think you are or not, you that are Christ are continually receiving all spiritual blessings. Everything that we have is of the hand of our God, and it's for our good. It's for the good of his people, and it's working towards the purpose of God in his kingdom here in the earth. We also see that in Ephesians 1:4 that the Father hath chosen a people. He has an elect people chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. We also learn that we've been purchased, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7. These are unshakable truths that are given to us to assure us of our God's salvation of us, and that we shall not fall short of the goal, that we shall not fall short of the kingdom of God, because it's all worked in us by the Lamb, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me give you one more blessing that is of particular relevance to us this morning, which he gives in verse 5. He says in Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. God is our Father. We are his children by adoption, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So that our God in Christ has delivered us from the body of sin. He's destroyed the body of sin, which is this flesh. We were under the dominion of sin, the dominion of death, and fear of dying and standing before our God. And our Savior has delivered us from that dominion and delivered us from the fear that men have and why they work so hard in religion. He's delivered us from that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that which was holding us fast and holding us captive and in bondage, he's delivered us from that, putting our eyes, giving us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now being delivered out of that body, out of that inheritance of Adam's corrupt seed, which is the wrath of God, we are become the Lord's children. Through the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, through the salvation that he's accomplished for us. And we're taught now. We're led of him because we are his purchased possession. And even so now, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You're sealed. You're the Lord's. You've been redeemed by Christ, and he's given you his Spirit, whereby you believe that his sealing is manifest in you, in that you have heard and believe the testimony of God concerning his Son, concerning your need of salvation, and that Christ has laid down his life for you. It's manifested in that belief, that faith that he's given to you. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse 13 and 14. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." We hear the gospel. We hear the voice of our Savior after the Spirit has given us life. After we are born again by the regeneration of the Spirit, we hear the gospel and believe. "In whom also after that ye believed," with that given faith, the fruit and gift of God, "ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And that sealing of the Spirit is the earnest, the down payment that God has given you of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, when Christ comes again to raise us up in a new body in our Lord, unto the praise of his glory. And so the Spirit seals us and leads us in the faith of Christ. And he's now teaching us Christ. We are learning the grace of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Spirit of grace and truth. He's teaching us this in the gospel. And every time we walk out that door and whatever we're doing, we're learning what grace is. We're learning the love and the kindness and the tenderness that our God has for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit's seal of us is going to be evident in that we put off the old man and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Men by discipline can do a lot of works, but if they're doing it in their flesh, by their discipline and hard work, apart from the Spirit of God, without the Spirit of God, it won't be righteousness and it won't be true holiness. It'll be a work of the flesh. But there is a work of grace worked in the people of God. It's an operation of the Spirit of God. And so we looked at these scriptures, and Paul's laid out these doctrinal truths in the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians, where we see our salvation declared as a gracious work of our God. We see his election of a people. We see his predestination of those people, how they should walk and when they shall come to a knowledge of these things in the Lord, so that we're comforted and know that our perseverance is not by our strength, but by his grace and power and glory. And he's working that in us. And the importance of us understanding that is we're coming now into chapters that are very heavy in application. Heavy in application, and it's a point where religion often excels because it's easy for them to direct your flesh into works and doing and to take scriptures and twist them so that you're made afraid that you'll do more and do more in fear. But the gospel, we fear the Lord in the awe and respect that he is God and that he should love a sinner like me. But we don't fear God in that we're constantly looking out and wondering if God's going to get me and if he's going to destroy me and tire of me and cast me aside. We believe him. We believe him. And this word that the Lord's given me on my heart here in this part of Ephesians is meant to comfort you and to see that it takes time. The Lord has chosen and purposed to work these things out in us patiently. Patiently. And we're learning and growing together. And that's why I read that those verses in Philippians 3, 12 and 13 about the apostle. Even the apostle was continually learning. He was being humbled by the Lord and learning to look to him and wait upon him, to cry out to him and seek him for these things, because that's what our God is doing. Because inevitably, as we speak of our being led by the Spirit of God and sealed by the Spirit of God, and that we've given a profession of hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually we're going to come face to face with the reality that this flesh is sinful. We're going to encounter sin in our heart, in our flesh, and we're going to see things that frighten us about ourselves. When we see the darkness and what's in this fleshly old man of sin, this fleshly nature, so that we cry out in our hearts, Lord, if this faith was given to me by you, and it's by your Spirit, and I'm being led by your Spirit and sealed by the Spirit, why do I see this corruption in me? Why do I say the things that I say and do the things that I do and see the evil in my heart and have evil thoughts? Why is it? How is this so? And I was thinking something that will help. Look at Genesis 25. Look at Genesis 25. Genesis 25 and verse 21 and 22. Rebekah was married to Isaac, and Rebekah had no fruit. She bore no children. A picture of her, she bore no fruit. She had no fruit in her womb. And so her husband, Isaac, entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. There's a picture there of our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, who at the right hand of the throne of God, as our mediator, entreats our God for our salvation. He entreats our God for our salvation so that we conceive. We are born of the seed of our husband, born of the seed of Christ and bear fruit of him. Now look at verse 22. And the children struggled together within her. A picture of the old man and the new. Picture of the old man and the new. And there's a struggle. There's a war. There's fighting and enmity. So that she cried out, saying, if it be so, why am I thus? That's the cry of the believer. Lord, if this faith is of you, and you've given me a hope in your Son, and you've given me your Spirit, and sealed me with your Spirit, and are leading me, why am I thus? Why am I thus? And look what it says, and she went to inquire of the Lord. And that's what the Lord is doing in his people. He's bringing us to inquire of the Lord, to seek him. Lord, why do I see sin in me? Why is there the struggle? If you've done this work, and you that believe him, I trust that you know what I'm talking about. You see the struggle between the old and the new man. And so this doctrine, you know, by itself, knowing these things, that alone doesn't edify us, doesn't bring it home to the heart. But the Lord brings it home to the heart, the truth of these things, in the practice of them. As we go out and see, Lord, if it's so, If this is so, why am I thus? And he works it out in us so that we cry out after him, not in the pride and arrogance and strength of the flesh, but in weakness and in humility. We're looking to him, knowing that he is all our strength. And it's one thing to hear that. It's another thing to experience it and to see that worked out in your heart. And so that's what the Lord's doing. It's a struggle. It's a struggle because we're learning, I really am weak. I really am not all that. I've got a lot to learn. I have not apprehended. But this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind and look to Christ and keep pressing toward him, crying out to the Lord, have mercy, Lord, help me. Help me to love my brethren and love you and serve my brethren and your kingdom faithfully. Faithfully. And that's what he works in his child. As we read in Acts 14:22, and this is true of us, that continuing in the faith, knowing that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. It's through much tribulation. It's through trials and fiery trials and overwhelming floods of water at times, covering us and overflowing us and knocking us about and bringing us down and bringing us low to see that we're nothing in ourselves and we're nothing without Christ and how desperate we are for his grace and mercy. Let's see what I mean here. Let's move to our next point about being imitators. Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And that word may be translated imitators. Be therefore imitators of God as dear children. Well, look up at Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. When we read, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The Spirit lays that to our heart to behold, my God is kind to me. And my God is tender-hearted in dealing with me. And my God has forgiven me for Christ's sake. And learning and beholding how our God does that for us time and time again. Though we sin against him 70 times 7 in a day, our Lord is always being kind and tender-hearted and forgiving us for Christ's sake. As we're growing and learning that and stumbling over ourselves and seeing our weaknesses and how the Lord deals with us, that's meant to learn us Christ properly, that it's all of grace, that we might go and be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving to our brethren when offenses and troubles and trials come. That's what we're learning. We're learning to be followers and imitators of our God, as he's gracious to us and been gracious to us, that we might be gracious to one another and love one another. And any of you that have had a young child or have seen friends with young children, you know, I have a grandson who's 2 years old, and I've noticed that boy is an imitator of his father. His father spends time with him, and he teaches him words, and that boy says things that his father has taught him and in the context and in the way that his daddy teaches him. And he wants to be like his dad because he loves his father. And you that have had children, you see the truth of that when you spend time with them and there's that love and bond between you and your child. You love them and they love you and want to be like you. And so they say the things you say and do the things you do. It's a reflection of you. And that's what the child of God. That's why I showed us in verse 5, Ephesians 1:5, that we've been adopted as the children of God. He's our Father. We're crying out, Abba, Father. And we want to be like him. The Spirit makes us desire to be like our Father because we see in ourselves corruption. And we don't want it because we know it grieves him. We don't want to continue in that corruption and sin against our Lord, against his word. And so we're the children of God. And we're given Christ as an example. He's much more. He's all our salvation. He's all our salvation. But we also see him as he walked here in the flesh. And when he came in the flesh, he said in John 8:28, "As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." He spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak. And that Spirit which dwelt in our Savior, in Christ, without measure, that Spirit dwells in us and leads us, and he's teaching us and he's bringing us along so that when we see what we read of our Savior, Hebrews 5:8, where it says that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And I don't fully understand that, but I do understand that it's spoken and given to us to behold that we suffer, that we're suffering, that we're learning through the things that we suffer as we go through the trials and the setbacks and spells of darkness and coldness and times that are difficult and hard for us. We're learning of our God. He's teaching us. We're learning Christ through it. And so by the way he speaks with us and teaches us, we learn to speak with our brethren and love them the way that we are loved, and to be patient, because we're constantly crying out, "Lord, be patient with me. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And as he makes us to recognize how we constantly need his forgiveness and patience with us, that we should remember that when we're faced with a brother or sister that may sin against us or offend us or trouble us. And we're learning of him to give thanks. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, I believe. And so it's learned, we learn Christ in our walk of faith. Know that, brethren, you're not going to get it all in one message. You may hear the blessed, glorious gospel in one message, but we're learning it in the walk of faith. In the same way, when you've gone to school, university, to learn a skill in a profession, you didn't learn it all in one afternoon, a little class online. You learned it in years, and then you went out into the field and practiced it, and there was times of refreshing and renewing, and you were taught, and you continue to learn so that you can do your craft well. Well, the Lord continues to teach us and instruct us and lead us along. It's not coming all at once. It's a patient thing. And if it's so with you, it's so with your brethren. It's so with your brethren as well. Remember that when you're dealing with them and wondering, why are they this way? Well, it's a patient learning, and the Lord has a purpose in it. Maybe he's being patient with them that he might teach you using them, you know, and the difficulties that they give you. And so our Lord and our Savior, the Son of God, when he came, said, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father." Well, that Spirit that dwelt in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, without measure, the Spirit dwells in us by measure, by the measure that God has given to us. And therefore, we're going to learn gracious works, to be gracious and to be patient and to do those good works which our Father has ordained for us to walk in, being wrought in us by our Savior. And so Paul says, "Be ye therefore followers, imitators of God as dear children, and know," remember, it's learned through the walk of faith. It's learned. "The just shall live by faith." And that means faith is going to be called upon. Faith is going to be exercised where we are brought into difficulties where all we can do is believe. "Let that man that walketh in darkness stay upon his God," Isaiah says. Let him stay upon his God even when it's dark and he doesn't understand what's going on. Let him stay upon his God. And so, imitating our God, we read in verse 2, Ephesians 5, 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It's going to be a walk, brethren, ever leaning upon the breast of your Savior, calling out upon him, looking to him for help, seeking him for grace, because in that walk you're going to see the weakness that we are in self and how we need him and how gracious he is to us. All right, so having that foundation, knowing it's a walk of faith, trusting the Lord, believing all the promises he's given to you and these blessed, unshakable doctrines, seeing the truth of what of the salvation our Savior has wrought for us, and an understanding that it's a walk of faith and that our Lord is teaching us ever so patiently, ever so gently, ever so perfectly in his way. You know, sometimes things just get washed out and shaken in an earthquake, and other things are just delicately chiseled out and slowly removed and taken away one pebble at a time. We're the Lord's. We're his servants. We're his people. He can do with us as he wants according to his purpose. So having that foundation, when we come to passages, as we come to now in verse 3, we can hear them. And hear them believing our God and trusting him and having a desire to be imitators of our God. Now, this passage here, is speaking of grievous sins, grievous sexual sins that believers are not to walk in, he tells us. So look at verse 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. All these sins here in the context are related to sexual sins. Fornication is sex between two unmarried persons. And then uncleanness is related to sexual sins, speaking of adultery, speaking of homosexuality and perversions that people have and seek out and practice. And covetousness here relates to that insatiable desire for those lusts in the flesh. And Paul then lists sins of our tongue, and hear these as well in relation to the sexual sins above. Look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. We've heard, and maybe even spoke in times past, men and women can do it where they just speak very foolishly about sexual sins as though it means nothing, and it's just all loose and carefree. But Paul says, rather give thanks. Give no place to these things in your walk. They shouldn't be named among brethren, is what he's saying, but rather give your thoughts and your energies to being thankful for what the Lord has given you. Be thankful for how he's blessed you and what he has given you. Trust him. Rather give thanks, being content with the provision of your Lord. All right, verses 5 and 6 now. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And what we understand in our salvation, what Christ has wrought for us, and is that he's delivered us from that body of sin. That's not our inheritance. The wrath of God, which is coming on the children of disobedience, is not coming upon the children of God. Therefore, don't be partakers with their deeds and sins that are bringing on them the wrath of God. He's saying, don't be part of those. And you know, it's been widely practiced for decades, but these things are widely practiced, even in churches, among members of churches at times. And we are not to practice those things, or they should not be named among us. And we've seen how there are those that have been hardened in sin, and their faith is shipwrecked. It shows that they never had faith, that it was always a work of the flesh and not of the Lord. But we know how hardening sin is. And so Paul's saying, don't be part of it. That's not your inheritance. Ours is one of peace and joy and fellowship in the Holy Ghost. Seek Him. And those lusts, when they come up in the flesh, seek the Lord. It's a walk of faith. Cry out to Him and keep seeking Him and trust Him to lead you out of that destruction and to have no part of it. That's where the children of disobedience and the children of wrath walk, on that broad way which leadeth to destruction. And so why would you want to be on that path? You child of God that trust Him, believe Him to provide for you in all things. As He says back in Ephesians 4:20 and 21, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. And in Hebrews 6:9 and 10, we read, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And so the Lord's leading us, and He's sealed us. Our salvation is secure in Him and unshakable. And trust the Lord. If any struggle with these things or commit these things, let them hear what the Lord says and cry out to his God for deliverance and for the Lord to help him and keep him walking by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says now in Ephesians 5:7-8, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so what I want us to take home more than anything today is that this is a walk of faith. This is a walk of faith. And we need the Lord in all things, in sins which men count light and in sins which men count as grievous and unforgivable. The Lord is able to forgive us of all things and deliver his people and keep the hearts of his people, keep us ever crying out to him, Lord, if this is so, why am I thus? So that we're always looking to him and trusting him and then taking that same knowledge which he's given to us and be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving toward our brethren. And then, just one final word, when we pray for one another, And we pray, Lord, help me to love my brethren. Help me to be patient with my brethren. Help me to serve my brethren. And bless us, Lord, as a body, to love one another, be patient with one another, and serve you, our God, and one another. When you're praying, remember to be watching and understanding, not looking for sin, but understand that there's going to be difficulties then, and trials, and you're going to see weakness in yourself. You may see weakness in your brethren. You may see stumbling and difficulties and adversities rising up, because that's where we're learning to walk in faith and in the practice of what we've learned of Christ. So don't be surprised and be offended and go away, but rather endure and labor with what the Lord has worked in our midst, because it's for our good, and it's to teach us Christ. It's to reveal in us the grace which he's taught us and shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you seek to practice what you've learned, don't be surprised when you start to experience situations that require such love and faith and patience and endurance in those things, because that's how we learn it. So